This hour of the Howie Car Show podcast is brought to you by the Howie Car Show store. If you can't get enough of Howie, you can buy Howie's books, t-shirts, and more. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click store.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Car Show.
I never thought a word would sound so good. It's called Total Acquittal.
An unscripted, vindictive, at times profane, angry, rambling response to his impeachment acquittal.
It was vindictive. It was full of revenge. It was mean-spirited. It was poisonous.
This is somebody in deep psychological distress right now, self-pitying, insecure, angry.
I don't know. He seems pretty happy.
We just won the big emoluments case. Just came out a few minutes ago. It was a total win.
Live from the Matthews Brothers studios.
I tried to build both a Senate office and a campaign office that has a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds, has people of color.
There's a story in Politico about six women of color that quit your Nevada campaign with complaints of a toxic work environment and tokenism.
Racism and oppression in this country have left a long legacy.
Show white man Indian strong. Can kill many.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Now I understand the votes are fried in Iowa. They couldn't even take a simple tabulation, and yet they're telling you how to run the country and how to run health care. But I'll tell you who won on the Republican side. They accounted for every single vote. Trump won.
Unchained and unstoppable.
I go to party sometimes until 4.
I want to stop Trump. He can't be stopped. Nobody can beat him. I am ending my candidacy for president of the United States.
It's hard to leave when you can't find the door.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Another good intro. Great intro today, Taylor. Thank you very much. Yesterday's was excellent, too. You have a lot to work with, but still, you know, You make the most of it. 844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. If you'd like to join us here this afternoon, every weekday afternoon, you know, compared to the rest of the week and compared to what's coming up next week with the New Hampshire primary and President Trump being in Manchester on Monday night, This is kind of a day that we can take a step back. There's plenty of stuff to talk about, but we don't have to be quite as fevered as we have been the last few days. It's nice. We have more time. We got so many cuts to play. Half the cut sheet today is stuff we didn't get to yesterday from the vicious, vindictive, petty. You know, I'm with the person who, you know, like in the intro said, I got the feeling he was pretty damn happy. I thought he was just totally on top of his game at both the National Prayer Breakfast and at the White House when he was enjoying himself, and he was enjoying himself today when he left to go to North Carolina to talk to the empowerment economic conference. Anyway, we'll get to all of that. We're going to take a lot of calls today. 844-500-4242. We'll have somebody from the White House with us at 4:30. And Monday, we are just going to be packed with A-list celebs. And Grace is going to be outside the arena in Manchester. Maybe she will get into the arena later on. She'll be doing Man in the Streets because, as you know, everybody in New Hampshire's got a ticket, but there's only like 15,000 seats. So, they, you know, everybody's going to stand in line, and the Trump canvassers are going to go, right down the line like it's a rope line, and they're going to ask people questions, try to get their email addresses, and, find out. I'm sure probably 40, 50% of the people that are going to get into that arena, if it's like everywhere else in the country, are going to be either independents or Democrats, maybe more. And these are going to be a large percentage of them will have voted for Hillary Clinton. And it's just going to, these crowds are amazing. And I'd like to thank Rush Limbaugh for playing the cut of me on Tucker Carlson the other night and just saying that, you know, people don't understand Rush. And I really appreciated that. I'd been listening all day to the show, and then I read that Joy Behar had a meltdown today on The View, and I went in to tell Taylor to see if he could get the Joy Behar audio, and I missed actually hearing it. We'll try to run it down and play it for you later if you didn't hear it. But he played the cut. I meant what I said on Tucker on Wednesday night. It's just so amazingly hypocritical of these people. I mean, not that it's unexpected. You knew this from day one, that they were, this is the way they were going to react, with total lack of class and dignity when they heard that he was sick. And, but they have no idea who he is, and, they don't know who we are. That's why they hate us so much. All of us, you know, it's not just Trump. It's not just Rush. It's all of us that they just don't get it. Anyway, 844-500-4242. You know, one thing, the texters are talking about this. If any of these people, like John Harwood, for instance, second generation hack, Beltway hack, he's the one who was doing I didn't know he was like a psychiatrist or a psychologist. He can do readings on people's minds. He's a mind reader too. He understands that he has deep psychological scars and he's in denial, et cetera, et cetera. What does John Harwood think would be his reaction if for almost 4 years there was a daily cacophony of people making false accusations against you? And up to and including accusing you of being a traitor to your country and just utterly making up nonsense and taking the paid fiction of your worst political opponents and feeding it to crooked cops so that they could hunt down you and your supporters and try to destroy their lives. Do you think you might be a little angry? That's what I mean when I say I think he was in a remarkably good mood considering what happened to him for 3 or 4 years. And you know, he's a billionaire, the president. But people like Roger Stone, people like Michael Flynn, I mean, they're basically destitute now. And they didn't do anything. And Carter Page, I mean, I assume he's going to eventually get a payoff, but it's you know, years down the road. They destroyed his business. Even his girlfriend left him. Can you blame her? I mean, again, they were crawling all over him. They were accusing him. He went to the Naval Academy, and they were accusing him of being a traitor. And Strzok, Peter Strzok, has the audacity, after Trump mentioned him yesterday at the White House, him and his girlfriend, has the audacity to say, I'll be answering these charges. Oh, wow, what a moral titan like Peter Strzok, fired from the FBI, a crooked cop, a third generation crooked cop out of the Boston FBI office. He's going to speak out. He's like Martin Luther nailing the manifesto to the wall of the church. Oh, he's the man. He's the man who's going to bring change. What a buffoon. I got to give you this headline before we go to the break. Again, we got so much stuff to get. Here's the exact quote. I couldn't find it. Peter Strzok warns Trump. A great deal more to say about the president's attacks. Oh, wow. I know the president is trembling in his boots. Mr. Strzok. Elizabeth Warren, women of color, bolt her Nevada campaign in frustration. And the best headline is in, I think, the Washington Examiner here. The Washington Times, excuse me. Elizabeth Warren apologizes, quote, without reservation, unquote, to women who left her Nevada campaign.
Ha, 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 ha.
Without reservation, get it? How it should, maybe this would be better. Elizabeth Warren apologizes without reservation to women who left her Nevada reservation. Oh, it must be tough to be Elizabeth Warren. I-93, the Spalding Turnpike, I-95 through Seacoast, they've all turned into trails of tears for Elizabeth Warren. They're having their big debate tonight. The Boston Globe says this is the most consequential political debate of the last 40 years. That's why they scheduled it on a Friday night, because it's going to get so many people watching it on a Friday night.
Poop.
You know why they scheduled it on a Friday night? Because Ronco had bought Saturday at midnight. They're going to have a special on smokeless ashtrays and the Ronco glass and bottle cutter. I'm Howie Carr.
He's the maestro of microaggression. He's Howie Carr.
Hi, this is Cindy from Osterville, Massachusetts.
This is Brett Rock from Dunstable, Massachusetts.
This is Amy in Lisbon Falls, Maine, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. We've got one more cheap bastard deal of the week.
It's Howie Carr's cheap bastard deal. Sounds too good to be true.
Oh no, it's real, and it's a steal.
You know there's plenty more when you shop at Howie's store for another Howie Carr cheap bastard deal.
Howie Carr, the cheapest bastard around.
Defensive Strategies in Manchester, New Hampshire offers a wide range of courses in firearm safety and situational awareness training for beginners, advanced, and instructor level. They also offer women's only classes, and today we've got an offer, a certificate to get the $100 worth of training and services at Defensive Strategies in Manchester for just half price, $50. That covers the $100 at half price. You can get most courses with this $150 gift certificate, which is half price. If you want to check out defensivestrategies.org, that's where you go. Defensivestrategies.org. Click on upcoming classes, find the course you want, and enter the discount code you'll be provided with at purchase. But right now, and you can order the gift certificates at HowieCarshow.com and click on store. But you check out what classes you want at defensivestrategies.org. Joining us now is Bob Ballard from Defensive Strategies. Thanks for being with us, Bob, and thanks for taking part in our cheap bastards deal.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So,
how you doing, Howie?
Pretty good. So what kind of place is Defensive Strategies? Give us an example of some of the kind of courses you offer.
We offer just about everything from the beginning level up to instructor level. We train a lot of our competition around here. So whether you're looking for, you know, beginner or advanced, Defensive Strategies is the place to go.
So and you offer the women's only classes too, because some women don't want to be dealing with macho type guys or would be macho type guys. I understand that, I think, and so do you, obviously. So women, you got plenty of courses for women only.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, our women's only class is our most popular class. Last weekend we had 22 ladies in the class, and They really are the fastest growing sector of this industry. There are more women carrying guns now than ever before.
As well they should be. And so how long are the classes, most of them?
Well, most of them are usually about a day or 8 hours. All right, so we start at 8 a.m. and we go through, you know, training them about the various types of guns. Then we do an hour of law, right, so that, you know, it's, they don't get in trouble with their guns. it's very easy to become an accidental felon just by, you know, crossing a state line or something on that idea. So we make sure that they don't get into trouble like that. And then we go to the range for an hour or two, and they shoot various firearms and, you know, learn the proper stance, safety, all that good stuff.
So even if you live in Massachusetts, is this a valuable course? Are these valuable courses, even if you live in Massachusetts, where the gun laws are more stringent than in New Hampshire?
Oh, of course. Of course. You know, gun safety is gun safety no matter where you live. And the only difference is, you know, when you cross over the state lines, is that you're going to need a Massachusetts permit.
Right.
To carry one in Massachusetts. New Hampshire, we don't have any law like that, so you don't need a license or a permit up here. Our licenses are voluntary, actually, so a whole different world between New Hampshire and Massachusetts.
Yeah. So but this is a good place to go to learn how to handle a firearm.
Oh yeah. Yeah, a lot of people take these classes before they even buy a firearm,
mm-hmm.
so that they understand, you know, when they go to the store, what they're looking for, what they, you know, how it's going to fit them, how it needs to fit them.
Right.
So we go over all those details in class. So.
Right. What kind of, you know, how big a gun you want? Do you want a revolver or a semi-automatic? That kind of stuff. I mean, those right. are real basic questions. But yeah. if you just walk in, you might just be dazzled by the looks of a gun, and it might not be something
oh, yeah.
you really need. And so this yeah. is this gives
yeah,
you an ex- need- this tells you how to make the pick, how to make the selection.
Right. You really need to understand how, you know, what to look for to know that the gun fits you. Your hand, and when it fits your hand, you're going to shoot it better. Okay, you're going to have better consistency on the target
right.
and everything else.
So it's defensive strategies in Manchester, New Hampshire. If you want to get a $100 certificate to defensive strategies just for $50, and that pays for most of the courses, including the women's only course. Hey, that's a good Valentine's Day gift for your girlfriend. HowieCarShow.com. Click on store. Cheap bastards. I'm Howie Carr. Here's how it works with my retirement accounts, and I'll bet yours too. If your 401k, your SEP, your IRA, whatever, is going up, you probably don't think very much about it, right? But if it's going down, well, there's nothing much else you can think of. So for the last couple of years, none of us have been worrying much about those quarterly statements. But lately, it's gotten a little worrisome. It's not that bad, not yet anyway, but what goes up must come down. Now is the time to start thinking about adjusting your investments. Gold and silver have always been a hedge against stock market volatility. Uncertainty about the future has traditionally meant rising prices for precious metals. Orion Metal Exchange is the only precious metals company I trust. Give Orion a call to get a free, no-obligation investment guide about protecting your future with an enduring investment in gold and silver. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain, including peace of mind, by calling Orion Metal Exchange now. Call them today at 800-912-2300. And with Orion, you'll get more metal for your money. Call 800-912-2300. That's 800-912-2300.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy, but with Roman now it can be. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for erectile dysfunction, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. No awkward visits to the physician or to the pharmacy to pick up the prescription. Go to GetRoman.com/Howie to get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Who are you rooting for in New Hampshire? And we basically have all the top-tier candidates, Mayor Pete,
and
Bernie.
We're not saying who you would vote for, because most of us wouldn't vote for any of them, but or unless we were trying to do what Rush used to call Operation Chaos in 2008. But I'm just saying, who are you rooting for?
Yeah, we've got Mayor Pete, Bernie, the fake Indian, Joe Biden, Amy Klobuchar, Tulsi Gabbard, Deval Patrick, Andrew Yang, and Tom Steyer.
I'm rooting for Bernie.
33% are rooting for Bernie, but 43%, Howie, are rooting for Tulsi.
Tulsi, yeah. I actually saw a Tulsi ad on TV the other night. I like that ad a lot better than I like the Mike Bloomberg ad or the Tom Steyer. I wonder why I enjoyed the Tulsi ad more than
it
those
It will
other
forever
ones.
Remain a mystery.
But anyway, somebody was saying, you know, that he said it was a serious question. He's a New Hampshire voter. He can take a Democrat ballot. And he said, who would you vote for? What I would vote for, and you know what, again, I've said, be careful what you wish for. And the Germans sent Lenin back into Russia during World War I, and it didn't work out for him. The more I think about it, the more I think that the, you know, people like Carville and Bloomberg, et cetera, they know that Bernie would be a disaster nationwide. I'd vote for Bernie. I think Bernie's the way to go. I really do. But, you know, on the other hand, you know, I'd like to take a Republican ballot and slap Weld around. Did you see Weld's picture in the Herald today? Oh my God, he's got more burst capillaries on his face than W.C. Fields, Tip O'Neill, and Ted Kennedy combined. It's amazing. We found the Rush Limbaugh cut. I was on Tucker Carlson on Wednesday night, and you know, talking about the horrible lack of compassion that the Democrats and the liberal media have for Rush. And I said a lot of things. I said, whatever happened to they go low, we go high. But Rush just played a little bit of it. But I'll let him set it up just so you can hear what Rush, the cut Rush played.
Ah, okay. First, before that, go to soundbite number 21. This is Howie Carr, who was on Tucker Carlson's show on the Fox News Channel on Wednesday night. And Howie Carr said, why not just say I disagree with Rush Limbaugh? Why does every disagreement have to be kind of perverted into a race conversation? Okay, they disagree with Rush. Fine. Well, why do they have to call everyone they dislike a racist every time? That's Tucker Carlson asking Howie Carr.
That's the way it is with liberals. If they disagree with you, ergo, you are a racist. And it doesn't matter that Rush has raised millions of dollars for charities, leukemia foundations, with the Betsy Ross t-shirt more recently. Yeah. He's done all that. He's a historical figure in American politics, I would say, and in the radio industry. I tell you one thing, he never rode around on Jeffrey Epstein's jet, unlike a certain former president of the United States. He never tried to cow Ronan Farrow into stopping his exposés of Harvey Weinstein, like Hillary Clinton's people did. Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's really loathsome.
All of that is a good point. It's clearly a two-way street.
Yeah, we've talked about it over and over again. I write all the columns for the Herald, and a lot of times there's not even a black person mentioned in my column, especially if it's a local hack column, you know? And the initial reaction is at least two or three people on the message board, another racist column. And it just means they don't like what I wrote. So I'm a racist. And I was glad I could make that point on Tucker's show to an audience of 3 million people. And I hope Rush is doing better. He sounded okay in a cough today, but my throat's a little scratchy myself. You know, he seemed to be okay, and it was an interesting story he told about how he ended up at the State of the Union. If you didn't hear it, he was planning to go in and get some initial medical work done that afternoon, and he got a call in the morning from the president, and the president said, can you get up to the State of the Union? I'd like you to be my guest. And he had to really scramble everything around to get there. But he did make it, and it was very interesting, interesting story. And he said from where he was sitting up in the gallery, he could see Nancy Pelosi, you know, pre-ripping the pages of the State of the Union. He was going, what the hell is she doing? Probably everybody who was, you know, who was up above, who could see it, you know, if you were just watching it on TV, you just got the straight shot in and you wouldn't notice until, until they did the freeze frame, the replay. Anyway, 844-500-4242. We wish the best. All of us wish Rush a speedy recovery, and he's in our hopes and our prayers and our thoughts as it goes forward. And I'm so glad he was back today. And you know, you never know how much you you appreciate somebody until it looks like you might not have them for a prolonged period of time. And it was a joy to him more than ever today. And he's going to be back Monday, so I'm happy about that. And thanks very much to our Boston affiliate, WRKO, for providing that, because it happened pretty late in the show when he played it. 844-500-4242. Let's take some calls here. Russ, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Russ.
I'm just so disturbed, Howie. And you are a patriot. Believe me. It's so scary to know what a snake Romney is, that the Democrats are going to bring him on board. Yeah. He's going to jump ship. He's going to become a Democrat.
That's a rumor, Russ.
They're going to run him.
Russ, we should point out that's a rumor. Rush mentioned that earlier today, and he said he said there's a rumor going around, and it's getting a lot of traction because it's so believable that they're going to offer him they're going to try to get him to bail out this sad sack cast of characters they've got. But you know, Russ, even John McCain, you know, when Kerry offered to make him his vice presidential candidate in 2004, when it looked like Kerry was the rather heavy favorite to oust George W. Bush, I mean, even McCain wouldn't take the bait. But you know damn well, Russ, that Mitt would do it in an instant, wouldn't he?
Yes, he would. And Hillary's already backing him. What's she looking for, VP?
Well, you know, I just keep reading these headlines. I can't bring myself to actually read the stories. But one day she says, I'm not running for vice president. And then the next day she says, never say never. And, you know, she's desperate, isn't she? Oh, I mean, she's even more shameless than Romney. Yeah, go ahead.
Bloomberg. They changed the rules so he can run in Utah. So just look at Bloomberg, Romney, and Clinton, and if you don't see something going on there, because like you say, they've got nobody to run against Donald Trump. I mean, their boat is sunk, and they've got to pull this out of the hat somewhere. And Romney, I live in Utah, and let me tell you what, he is that much of a underhanded snake. And he would do it in a heartbeat.
I mean,
and I listened to Chris Wallace interview of Romney the other day, and that's what got this idea going, is that I listened to him snivel and whine about morality and his religious stuff. He was paving the road to make himself available for this position. And I mean, we're in a scary spot here because the Democrats
you
are
think,
desperate.
Russ,
They've
Russ.
Got nobody.
But do you think Mitt Romney could beat Donald Trump? I think Mitt Romney would be even more of a mark for Trump than even Buttigieg.
I don't know. Romney's pretty quick on his feet, and I mean, of course, Donald Trump is. And
he couldn't take a punch.
God,
he couldn't take a punch from Barack Obama. He couldn't take a punch from Ted Kennedy. You really think that he could endure the withering scorn of Donald Trump in a 90-minute or 2-hour debate, Russ? I don't think so. I say, you know what I say to Willard? Come on in, Willard. Come on in, Pierre Delecto. The water's fine. Just jump on in. Switch. I don't want him to switch parties, but just say, I'll accept the draft of the Democrats.
And I look, by the way, at what happens to anybody in this country who loses as the nominee of their party, who loses the general election. They become a loser for life.
He's a loser. He's got the big L on his forehead. I'm a loser. Remember Rush used to play that when he'd introduce Mike Dukakis? That was when he was a rookie national broadcaster in 1988. He's a real nowhere man. That was Mike Dukakis. Mitt Romney is even more of a nowhere man than Mike Dukakis, a real loser. Thanks for the call, Russ. I wouldn't concern myself too much. I'm more amused by the idea of Mitt getting into the race. I still think, though, it's a rumor. It's not. I would bet anything it's not going to happen. Bob, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Howie. Just one quick thing on Rush before I get to Liawatha, the fake Indian.
everybody, including you, fails to mention that if Rush were such a racist, why would he hire Bo Snerdly, his executive producer, who's been with Rush for the better part of 30 years?
Right.
I mean, as everybody knows, Bo Snerdly is black.
Right. And he's intensely loyal. I've met him, you know. He wouldn't be if he was with him for 30 years, but there's no BS about that. He loves the guy. How about Clarence Thomas? He's a good friend of Clarence Thomas's, you know?
Well, let's just say Rush is a really bad racist. But
Trump being a bad dictator, right?
Right. In terms of Hiawatha, she took her tribe to Council Bluffs and even Sioux City, but she ended up looking not so pretty. She's going to go to New Hampshire. That will be her wounded knee, just like Nancy Kerrigan getting kept by Tonya Harding, her henchman. Hiawatha will be found screaming, "Why me? Why me?"
If anyone wants another great Indian defeat, Google Horseshoe Bend. I think that's what's going to happen to her. She's going to, like what Andrew Jackson did to the Creek Indians in, I think, 1814 at Horseshoe Bend in Alabama. That's what all the other candidates are going to do to the fake Indian on Tuesday in New Hampshire. 844-500-4242. We'll take a break. I'm Howie Carr.
Keep it here, chumps. More Howie Carr after this.
This is Kevin from Brockton.
This is Karen from Boiling Springs, South Carolina.
This is Officer Mark calling from beautiful Stratford County, New Hampshire. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
He's a loser, but he still keeps on trying.
Hey, Mitt's coming out. There's his song. Literally dozens of people in the arena that holds thousands are getting very excited because the Nowhere Man is about to arrive on stage. As somebody points out, he couldn't take a punch from Candy Crowley. 844-500-4242. I remember when he was running in 94, my oldest daughter was holding signs for him outside of Quincy Market, the debate against Ted Kennedy, and they brought in all these drunk union guys, and they were screaming. She was in high school, and she was holding up the sign, and she was screaming. They were screaming at her and all the other kids that were with her that were working for Romney, and she just stood her ground, you know? And I was really proud of her when she told me about it later. And then the debate started, and Mitt Romney's in there with Ted Kennedy, who probably also had beer on his breath like the Teamsters outside. And he folded. He faded. He had less spine than the high school students holding his signs out in front of Quincy Market. It was Faneuil Hall. He was pitiful. Pitiful. Never stood up to anybody. A great family guy, you know, good. It gave a lot of money to charity like Rush. But just, I mean, I like to see him try to take the crap that Trump or Rush have taken over the years. 844-500-4242. Sheldon, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Sheldon.
Howie, I called to talk to you about corruption in the election, but I think if Mitt runs, we wouldn't have to worry about that. Trump would just beat him like a drum. But anyway, my call to you is I'm concerned about the Democrats messing with the election. I think they're trying to do it right now in Iowa because they don't like the result.
Oh, they obviously are. No question.
What can Trump do to protect against that happening in the general election?
I'm hoping they've got so much money that I think they're going to try to institute some kind of safeguards. But I'll tell you, Sheldon, when I see his poll numbers with blacks and Hispanics, I don't think it may not be possible for the Democrats to steal the election. I mean, you know, if he gets 35% of the black vote, that's got to translate into 3 or 4 million extra votes. Same thing with the Hispanic. If he's up like 40-50% with Hispanics, that's probably 5 million votes. I mean, do you think they can steal an extra 10 million votes to make up for all the minority votes that they lose? I don't think so.
One of the things I've heard them talking about in Iowa is they're blaming Trump, some kind of robot calls that blocked results coming in. I don't know that they can steal votes, but they can claim anything they want.
Right. Well, they claimed it in 2016 with Jill Stein. Remember that? Remember they started the recount in Michigan, and they started in Wayne County, Detroit, and it turned out that they were finding all kinds of ballot boxes that didn't have any votes in them, you know, that the Democrats had just concocted votes out of thin air, and that was the end of the recounts. Remember that?
I do not remember that, but
yeah, the recount ended very quickly in Michigan. is the bottom line.
The same way in November.
Yeah, no, I know it's definitely right to be concerned, and believe me, President Trump thinks about it. I almost 100% guarantee you that he's going to mention how the election was stolen from him in New Hampshire. He lost by 3,000. I'm not sure that there were 3,000 college student votes, although there was definitely mischief with the same day registration in the college towns. But I guarantee you, Kelly Ayotte lost her seat just because of the same day same day voter registration in the college towns. They've tightened it up a little bit, but not enough, I don't think. John, you're next with Howie Carr. Quickly, John.
Hey, Howie, how you doing? Hey, I just wanted to alert you. Andrew Weissman was on MSNBC yesterday, and you should just get a copy of the tape because he was basically all admitted that this thing was a coup. To overthrow the president.
Well, how about the fact that all these Democrats keep saying he's going to do in 2020 with the Russians what he did in 2016? Just Weissman and Mueller said he didn't do anything in 2016. Why do they keep saying he's going to do it again? Venman, Lieutenant Colonel Venman, has been escorted from the White House. I'm Howie Carr.
This hour of the Howie Carr Show podcast is brought to you in part by the Dirty Rats podcast. Everyone is raving about Dirty Rats. Available wherever you get your podcasts, as well as on DirtyRatsPodcast.com. Binge Dirty Rats today.